Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, another day in the mix. Another day in the mix. How are you, America? Let's keep it moving, baby. Positive stuff. Tiki and Tierney, company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home, it's more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage on this Thursday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. All sorts of ways to jump in. Took some calls yesterday. We'll take some more today. Just kind of want to hear how you're piecing together the days, what you're doing, how you're feeling, what you're thinking. 1-855-212-4CBS. 1-855-212-4227. Teak, what's happening, partner? How you doing today?
All's good, man. It's a beautiful day outside today. A little windy, but can't complain about that. So got out for a little bit of a jog. It was a short one today. Took the girls out for a little bit of a bike ride down the street, but Brooklyn's tire has a hole in it. And I was like,
wait, the training wheel or the other
no,
one?
No, no, no. This is Brooklyn who's riding two wheels.
I got you.
She tried to go over a curb yesterday and she bit it. Came out today. The tire was flat. So it's like, maybe the tire just came off the rim. I'll pump it back up, and goes flat again. So I have to take the whole thing off. Pump it up and listen for the hissing sound. And I'm like, oh, God, do I have any tape? Do I have any, like, super glue or Gorilla glue?
Yeah, nothing. Where's the commercial with the guy who cuts the boat in half? And then
he glues it together and gets on the lake. What is that called? Flex seal?
I think that's what it is.
That's what I needed.
Actually,
I needed some flex seal because instead we had to order an inner tube now for her tire so she can't ride her bike for a couple of days. So, yeah, that was my day. It was cool, though.
I mean, even the simple things can't go off without any sort of interruption, huh?
That's right. Exactly right.
We got the bikes are actually coming from the Easter Bunny. So they are tucked away in the garage. And Daddy put those together pretty soon. But Daddy's got to get himself a bottle of scotch, dude. I mean, I'm putting up the red flare now. I mean, I'm shooting flares into the sky. I have nothing. I mean, I'm looking at my thing. I have nothing. So I have a drop.
You didn't prepare well then.
I can't justify any other position. I did not prepare well. I thought that running to the store wouldn't be such a huge chore, but we're really staying inside. So I'm kind of hosed here. I mean, I guess there's some other, like Kahlua and some other things, like the back of the, some things you don't touch unless you have to.
Yeah, just drink water instead.
Oh, I think we're getting to that point of having to. I don't know if the Ravens are at the point of having to sign Antonio Brown, but listen, let's get into this. It's making the stirs. It's creating a wave on social media. Lamar Jackson, Marquise Brown, Antonio Brown working out together down in South Florida. Obviously, Marquise and AB are cousins. First of all, I'm going to give you the first crack. What do you think? I mean, what's your interpretation of this?
Well, my interpretation is that this is a familiar thing, meaning a family thing, a relationship thing. Antonio Brown being cousins with Marquise Hollywood Brown, it makes sense that he would seek out Antonio Brown for whatever, tips, pointers, whatever it may be. And Lamar Jackson, who I believe is also from Miami, I'm pretty sure he is. He's from down that way as well. It's coincidence that they're all in the same place. Now, does this mean that the Baltimore Ravens are going to seek out Antonio Brown? Probably not. But when you start looking at the Baltimore Ravens and say, could they use Antonio Brown, or would this situation fit? The answer is absolutely yes. Last year, the Baltimore Ravens relied heavily on their tight ends for most of Lamar Jackson's completions, which was good because he was so accurate to them, and I think it made their offense that much more dynamic. Obviously, Hollywood Brown on the outside, the tight ends in the middle, the run game, which is one of the best in the National Football League. But if you put in Antonio Brown on that squad as well, their passing game would be seriously, explosive. So does it make football sense? Yeah. Does it make actual sense? I'm not so sure.
Okay. To me, there are two primary questions that need to be asked before you can even make sense of this. And you touched on one for sure. The need. And I would agree. The need for Antonio Brown or an upgraded wide receiver is there. All right. The second one, and this is probably even the first one before I even get to the need, would be, do you have the proper infrastructure to absorb whatever baggage he brings into that locker room? And he's not traveling light, let's put it that way. He has a little more than an overnight bag. He's going to the island for a couple. Wherever he goes, he's packing for a month. He's bringing in a few suitcases of nonsense. And for me, the answer is yes. I believe they've got the proper infrastructure because I believe they've got the right coach. They've got the right organizational dynamic in terms of winning. Obviously, Marquise is his cousin. That can't hurt. Lamar Jackson seemingly wants to do this, so that's a good starting point. He wants to be around them. Otherwise, he wouldn't be on social media working out with them. And I don't know that the Raiders quite had that infrastructure that, Derek Carr versus Lamar. I think that would have gone sideways a little bit. You know, John Gruden, John Harbaugh, very different. I think that would have gone sideways fast. I think that Mike Mayock, who's done a good job, I just don't think AB respected him as a GM, and that was evidenced by some of the things he said, which were reprehensible. So now the two questions. Do you have the proper infrastructure? Yes. Do you have the need? Yes. Okay. So check, check. So now I'm already deeper in the process than I thought I would ever be because I'm going to just lay it out as I've always laid it out with Antonio Brown. I don't like Antonio Brown, nor do I trust Antonio Brown. However, if there's one team in the NFL that I would say, okay, I can see this on the surface, do a little digging, see what the next step is, it might actually be the Ravens.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned something, BT, there that was important that I think gets glossed over when we talk about what went wrong in Pittsburgh. Like, forget what went wrong in Oakland. That thing never got started. It just he was late. He was hurt because of the cryo chamber thing, so he didn't even practice. And then it was on television, which was the worst thing that could have happened to the Raiders and Antonio Brown with Hard Knocks. So that thing was short circuited before it ever got started. Forget about the New England Patriots as well, because they were forced. They didn't even get a chance to experiment with him in their locker room because they were forced to part ways with him because of an off the field issue, a domestic issue, not really domestic, but you know what I mean, an inappropriate conduct with a female issue. So they had to cut bait with him, unrelated to anything that we always talked about with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What happened in Pittsburgh was a lack of respect by Antonio Brown for really anyone to have authority over him, whether that was the head coach, whether that was Big Ben, who we know for a fact they hated each other, whether it was Le'Veon Bell when he was there, any of those offensive linemen, the Pouncies or whoever. Like, nobody could curtail him or could contain him. And the only way to do that, BT, and I only can speak to this because of somewhat of an experience with the New York Giants, is to have a veteran who is a superstar. I mean, like uberstar, like perennial Pro Bowler, all pro type player, who is either louder or forces him into his place. In Pittsburgh, they didn't have that, right? You know, and I give the example from the Giants. Think about the Giants during the Jeremy Shockey era, right? You remember this. He came in, he's loud, he's brash, he was out there. But we had some veterans like Michael Strahan who were louder, obviously perennially all pro and Pro Bowl, who could curtail that situation. And Jeremy was great for us, right? It worked. We made it work, at least for a long time, until ultimately they shipped him out after that first Super Bowl. And so if Antonio Brown goes to Baltimore, who's that guy, right? And on offense, I can't say it's Hollywood Brown. Maybe the family part makes a difference. I can't even say it's Lamar Jackson because I don't think Lamar has that voice yet.
Ingram?
It may be Mark Ingram, maybe, but I think it's more of what they brought in on the defensive side. And it was an offseason pickup that I think was one of the best moves in football, even though he's a little bit older. Calais Campbell, who obviously left Jacksonville, was great two seasons ago, was really good last year as well, is that veteran voice who has a presence. You know what I mean? When you engage with Calais Campbell, you feel it, man.
Yes.
It's not like he's like, hey, you know, just go do your job. He's like, hey, boy, good. You know, I mean, he's telling you what to do, uh-huh. and you're listening to him.
Yep.
If T. Suggs was still on this team, I would really say all in, absolutely. But the fact that they have a guy like Calais Campbell now on the defensive side of the ball, Earl Thomas also serves that role as well back in the secondary. I think that there are players, like elite, really good players on the Baltimore Ravens defense that Antonio Brown has to respect as a leader in that locker room.
Listen, I file that under the infrastructure. That's one
That's
of the
right.
two items.
That's exactly
no
right.
Doubt. I think that you have to consider something else. Now, number one, and this speaks to the second question, do they have a need? But, you know, don't forget, Hayden Hurst is gone.
They
traded him to the Falcons. So you look at their vertical weapons. Mark Andrews is a really impressive tight end. We all like him.
Mm-hmm.
We all know about Marquise Brown. And obviously Hayden Hurst is gone at this point. And then really it was just a, you know, bag of mixed change. You know, 20-something receptions here, 30 receptions here. Nothing incredibly.
Yeah, like Willie Snead.
Willie Snead, yeah. You know, exactly. But you have to look at it in these terms now. What do we always talk about now with the quarterbacks? These quarterbacks who go in the first round, once you start to get to year three, it's about, okay, what's the best chance to win a championship
mm-hmm.
and maximize on this relatively small, absorbable contract before we get to contract number two for Lamar, which he most certainly will in Baltimore? What can we do? Well, you know what? I mean, you weren't too far away from getting to the Super Bowl the year ago. And you'd have to think that with the defensive upgrades that Tiki just referenced, if you throw Antonio Brown into the mix, and, you know, Lamar Jackson's even seasoned a little bit more, and, you know, you hit on one or two good draft picks, which the Ravens almost always seem to do. You know, that window of true, legitimate, really viable Super Bowl candidacy, it's undeniable. And there's no guarantee that you'll win it, but there's definitely, barring something crazy, it's almost, you know, it's lockdown that you're going to be among the top three or four teams of the conference minimally,
yep.
and you have a real puncher's chance. So, from every conceivable angle, as much as I don't trust them, as much as I don't like them, you know, the Ravens, it does make sense.
Yeah,
it really does, Tink.
And you made a great point about a young quarterback who's still on his rookie deal being able to, and by the way, he's outside of the top 10
yes.
as a first rounder. So even when you pick up that fifth year option, you're not getting clobbered over the head by it.
That's
you know,
true.
Top 10 fifth year option, that's a big number. Back of the draft, which he was, what, 32? Yeah, 32nd pick of the draft. Fifth year option, that's not horrible, which is exactly why Ozzie Newsome moved up to take him at the 32nd pick. He said, look, I'm doing you guys a favor. I'm moving up. We could have got him in the second round, but I'm moving up to take him in the first round so you have control for 5 years, which was foresight that I marvel at it now. And Ozzie Newsome's been retired for a year and a half already. So you look at the prime example, BT, it's the Kansas City Chiefs and what they did with Pat Mahomes. They surrounded him with tons and tons of weapons. Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill and obviously Travis Kelce at tight end. There's just talent. Mekhi Hardman, who doesn't get enough respect for how good as he is. They just re-signed DeMarcus Robinson. They have tons of weapons for Pat Mahomes so that on this rookie deal, still on this rookie deal, even though it's not going to be rookie deal for long, you can win. And he won an MVP. He won a Super Bowl in his first three seasons. So that's pretty amazing. It's a model that teams have to follow with the way the salaries for quarterbacks have exploded over the last 5 or 6 years.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this out to you out there. Okay, we've all seen the on-the-field stuff, which is mesmerizing, the off-the-field stuff, which is beyond disconcerting. You know, where Antonio Brown is right now, and, you know, to his slight credit, he didn't clap back at Bruce Arians, who was very, you know, very blunt and dismissed him on our show. It made national news. You all heard that, of course. You all saw it on all the shows. And now you have to wonder, like, okay, is Antonio Brown really getting it? Again, I think it's more about, you know, self-preservation than it is self-evaluation and reflection leading to a better person. I mean, I'd like to be wrong on that, but I have no confidence that's actually it. I just think he's got some street sense and he's finally wising up and he's saying to himself, man, if I want to have a job, I better clean myself up a little bit here. So that's why I believe he's been on the down low here. I wouldn't give him money for my team. And my team needs a receiver, but my team doesn't have the infrastructure. I don't trust my coach. I don't know my GM yet, and that's the Jets. And there's a lot of teams out there that could use a vertical weapon. But if you don't trust the infrastructure, would you bring this guy in? So all you know about AB, all you know about the Ravens, would you give him a chance? 855-212-4227. Would you actually give this guy a contract after all the nonsense on Instagram, the self-implosions? Would you do it? 1-855-212-4CBS. So we'll get some calls on that. Get some reaction on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Also, coming up, while one-star quarterback practices with, well, let's call him a questionable player, another one still can't find the gig. Why not? We'll answer that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Tiki and Tierney, it's 1-855-212-4227. 1-855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Let's go to geico.com. So the beat goes on. Round and round we go. Hopefully you're hanging in there and, you know, just piecing it together. You know, and that's all you do. You know, one foot in front of the next and one day after the other. And before you know, that's a week off the calendar. Before you know it, that's 2 or 3 weeks off the calendar. Before you know it, that's a month. And before you know it, we emerge from this this hell that has really swallowed up the entire world. So trust me, we get it. But Tiki and I are doing our thing, doing our show, you know, more incorporating some of our stories and what our days are like and finding some fun topics to kick around, some interesting topics. I thought this was pretty interesting here, Tiki. The word on the street now is that head coaches around the NFL do not want to work with Jameis Winston. Now, I guess there's two aspects to that. Do they not want to work with him as the absolute, you know, starter? Or do they not want to work with him in an environment where there's a chance to work on some deficiencies behind the scenes and maybe emerge deeper in the season?
Well, I think the biggest reason, and this is the... So think of free agency as being tiered, like the high sought-after free agents. They're going to go in the first week or two. And we saw that, right? We saw Tom Brady getting signed, and we saw Phillip Rivers getting signed, and some of these other ones, you know, Calais Campbell that we were just alluding to. You see these big, some of these bigger names, it happens immediately.
Not Clowney.
But Clowney, interestingly, is tier two because of injury issues, right? And then I'm surprised that we haven't revisited this, but I don't think that the Atlanta Falcons have actually announced the Todd Gurley sign, even though we know that it happened and it's likely to happen. They haven't officially announced it yet. And so he kind of is tier one because it's a steal for $5 million in Atlanta. But if it hasn't been announced, he's probably in tier two because they're still waiting on their actual physical as opposed to, you know, yeah, I'm good. I'm, you know, my guys out here say I'm good to go. And so that you fall into that tier two because you're good and people know that you're good, but you have an injury concern. And Jadeveon Clowney, that's him, right? We know he's a really good player. We know he's got, you know, impact ability, but this lack of games played is a big question mark. And so I think that's why he's holding out. That's why he's, you know, pushed his number down from $20 million a season to $17, $18 million a season. And then you get to that third tier, BT, where it's a question about, is this guy actually good enough to be our starter, right? I know he may have been a starter somewhere else, but is he going to be an impact player for us? And that's where Jameis is falling right now. And a lot of it is happening because we all revere or we hold in high esteem Bruce Arians because of the success that he's had with quarterbacks really his entire career, starting with Peyton Manning and then obviously finishing out with Carson Wentz. And then last year he tried with Jameis Winston. But he kind of failed with Jameis Winston. And so if Bruce can't get it done, then all these other coaches are likely saying to themselves, man, if Bruce can't get that kid right, what the heck am I going to be able to do with him? Now, it's, they probably have more pride than that, but at the end of the day, though, you look at Bruce Arians not being able to get Jameis to stop making these mistakes and not go through these regression games, then what chance do I stand? And so that's part of it with Jameis. I think the other part is, you know, there's just not that many opportunities. Guys are committed to their either young starters or the different path that they've walked down. There just wasn't that many opportunities, really, once you got into it.
Yeah, I mean, opportunities, certainly that's something you and I have discussed. There seems to be a scarcity of openings right now. You know, Cam Newton's out there and Jameis Winston's out there and Andy Dalton's out there. And, I mean, hell, I mean, it's amazing. And we'll get to this a little bit later, but to me, it's amazing. Alden Smith got paid before Dak Prescott did by the Dallas Cowboys. What are you kidding me?
Yeah, but he got paid.
I understand that. But symbolically, I don't like the way that looks personally. But, of course, I get it. You know, Jameis to me is confounding in this sense because, you know, the talent is maybe not quite tantalizing, but certainly close to it. And you know what? I think for some, I think it actually is tantalizing for some. Obviously, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And there's a confidence factor, that inherent belief in yourself, that conviction to be able to do what somebody else was not able to fully do, even though that somebody else is incredibly respected and successful, as you point out with our buddy Bruce, no doubt. I think the perfect laboratory, which is why I said Jameis Winston a month ago should go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Go somewhere where you're not the man. Go somewhere where you can work on your craft when nobody's watching. Go somewhere where you're not penciled in there week one with expectations of 11 or 12 wins and the weight of the world on your shoulders. It's almost like the analogy of a pitcher. Just get in the bullpen, work on your secondary stuff. When you get the call, and let's face it, Big Ben is injury prone, you'll get the call. When you get the call, ball out and never give the job back and make the transition from Big Ben to Jameis easy and now have the Steelers be good again for the next 5, 6, 7 years. The problem with Jameis for these coaches who don't want to put the time in, and I do get this, because you can put all the time in the world to completely restructure how he processes, how he what he sees, how he thinks, how he what he believes in himself, and even mechanically. And then you can have some improvement, but the improvements aren't tangible enough in the wins and the losses, and you get fired.
Yeah, no, and that's what it comes down to. But guys, coaches don't want to risk their existence on a guy that they don't think they can fix. And so the problem for Jameis is, and I understand this too, because there may have been some offers that have been thrown his way that we just haven't heard about because nobody's, you know,
we would have heard
publicly made them, but they might have been offers to be backups, right? You know, come take this deal, be a backup. His agent is clearly talking with some people. There's no way that at 26 years old, having been a starter for 5 years, that there is zero interest. There's probably not a lot of interest for him being a starter. But if you're Jameis Winston, you don't want to go into a situation where you're not even competing for the starting job. And right now, I think he wants to compete for the starting job. But a lot of teams don't care to have him compete for the starting job. So there may be interest, but it's not on the level that he wants it to be on.
Let's close our eyes for a second and let's project 3 years. The name of the team is less important than the direction. In 3 years, we're having a debate about the top quarterbacks in the NFL. And God, I can only hope my boy Sam Darnold's in the mix and all the young quarterbacks and maybe Trevor Lawrence at that point. Of course, the great Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson still in his prime at that point. When we're talking about quarterbacks in 3 years, so in the summer or the spring of 2023, where is Jameis in his career? Is he entrenched fully as a starter? Is he a pro bowler? Is he an all pro? Is he a colossal bust? Where is he?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think you can label him as a bust. He's had too much success. Yes, it's been accompanied by a lot of interceptions and turnovers, but I mean, he led the league in passing. You know, he had threw for 33 touchdowns this season. So you can't chalk him up to bust. No matter what happens, he's past the bust stage. But the question is he a viable starter in the NFL? I think for Jameis, and it's so hard to speculate and predict about this, it would be purely a guess if I said, hey, in 4 years, he's going to be a Pro Bowler. That would be nonsense because I have nothing to base that on. Just like I could say, in 4 years, he's going to be out of the league would also be nonsense because I don't think – I think he's too good for that to happen.
Just trying to come up with radio content.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm just keeping it real as it pertains to Jameis. This is the exact problem, BT, and why he's not signed anywhere because nobody can – most people who know football well can say, and I'm not just talking about like insiders, like the scouts and the coaches, I'm talking about people who just follow football can say, Dak, you know what? I can see that guy turning into X, right? I can see that guy being a bust. He's going to be out of the league in 3 years. Like Jeff Rail, he was crying against the New Orleans Saints. I knew for a fact he was going to be out of the league in a year, right? So certain things you can just see, and it's clear.
Yeah,
Jameis is he's an enigma, right? You just can't see it. You can't predict it. Because in some moments, he is unbelievable, like almost as good as any quarterback in the NFL. At other moments, he is such a liability, you don't want him on the football field. And it could be in the same game. It could be in the same month, certainly in the same season. And so he's at this impasse. And I think the only way he gets out of that is by going someplace, being that dutiful backup. Probably Pittsburgh makes the most sense, BT, because Big Ben could be a good mentor for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Ben was thinking about retirement a couple years ago. He's 38 years old. I don't know what kind of shape he's in, but he's not there for the long haul.
Nope.
Big Ben's not playing for five more years.
They're too good not to have a real viable backup
right.
in case he's
that's
not
That's exactly
ready.
Right. And we saw last year, they do not have a viable backup. Well, they did not have a backup. Mason Rudolph was garbage. It absolutely terrible.
Bad.
And so when you bring in a Jameis Winston to sit with Big Ben in an offense that likes to throw the ball downfield, it is the absolute perfect situation. Now, the only thing that's stopping that from happening, BT, is Jameis Winston accepting that situation for himself. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
That's probably going to be the toughest part of the entire equation.
That's
because that requires a deep, deep, honest evaluation and a deep, unflinching look in the mirror. And that's tough to do, especially when you're in your mid-20s. And you were the former first overall pick who just threw for 5,000 yards.
Exactly.
It's not easy.
He's 26 years old, threw for 33 touchdowns and led the league with 5,200 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, go be a backup next year.
Oh,
dude, that's hard, bro. He thought he was making $30 million. Seriously.
I know.
He thought he was going to make $30 million this offseason.
Oh, man. Well, certainly an interesting story to follow. Love to get your thoughts. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. By the way, next hour, top of the hour, so 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, that HBO documentary, The Scheme, with are you kidding me? With the revealing wiretaps? And I have one question. I'm not even going to answer it because we know the answer. LSU and Arizona still have the same coaches after that? Are you kidding me? We'll get to that. But coming up next, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. And here's a question for you, or a statement, then a question. Knicks had their eyes on a possible new GM, but has he earned it? Little Inbounds, Out of Bounds, Tiki and Tierney style. That's next, straight up, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on this Thursday. Just grinding through another week, you know? You wake up on Monday, it's like, okay, here we go. And then Monday slowly dissipates, and it's Tuesday, and maybe get a little wind at the sails and get to hump day. All right, almost home. Thursday, here we go. All right, Friday, oh, we're well inside the red zone. And then, boom, it's the weekend. And as I said before, Teak, you tack on enough of those weeks, eventually we will be back to normal. That's what we all have to believe, and that's what's going to happen, period.
I believe it will happen, just a matter of time, and us continuing to stay safe and do all the right things and make sure that you keep your social distancing protocols in order. It sucks for everybody. We know that, but we're here to encourage you to do it. We're doing it. We hope that you guys are as well. And if you start to feel ill or have symptoms, contact the medical professional. Don't go to the hospital. Just contact your general practitioner, and they'll take it from there.
Yeah, and what a great gesture by Robert Kraft, by the way. We'd be remiss if we didn't throw that in. Over a million masks he had flown in from China on the Patriots team plane, 300 of which went to New York, even though he's up in New England, but he went to Columbia undergrad. So, you know, he took care of his state in which he works, you know, and owns the team. But he also took care of a place he really cares about. Everybody's stepping up. And, you know, it's funny, you know, it's just. And we saw this with 9/11, and then sadly it kind of got back to normal. And maybe this will be different, you know, hopefully. Maybe this is also wishful thinking, but, you know, what this does, and I tweeted this morning, it forces you to recalibrate, you know, what matters, what's important, what's not. You know, and maybe this is finally the reminder that we really needed, just based on where society was going with the over-glorification of athletes and musicians. You know what? Yes, they're important. Yes, they're incredibly talented. Yes, they provide an income for my family and myself. Yes, they're phenomenal at what they do and they entertain. But they're not paramount to our existence. And those who really are paramount to our existence, they're the ones who are being illuminated right now. And it's good to reinforce that. The doctors and the EMTs and the cops and the firemen and everybody's stepping up and stepping out and doing the right thing. So, out of all this bad, maybe we get that good, but we shall see. T, you ready for some inbounds, out of bounds?
Yep, let's hit it.
Okay.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, and the... This edition of Inbounds Out of Bounds brought to you by the new TracFone Wireless. New unlimited talk and text smartphone plan starting at $20 a month. No contract. All right, here we go, Teak. Alden Smith, remember him? Wow, he was once considered maybe a Hall of Famer. I mean, he came out of the chute flying. Seventh overall pick by the Niners all the way back in 2011. Wow. And he racked up an insane 33.5 sacks in his first couple of seasons on those really good Niner teams with Jim Harbaugh, etc. Justin Smith was on that line, too. However, after multiple arrests, DUIs, domestic violence allegations, even a bomb threat at an airport, Smith hasn't played in the NFL since 2015. Now, he applied for reinstatement back in 2016, was denied, and has applied again for the 2020 season. Smith has reportedly been sober for 9 months, good for him, and yesterday signed the one-year contract with the Cowboys, and their numbers are, looks to be a reported $2 million guaranteed base with upward triggers of roughly $4 million. In or out, the NFL should give Smith another chance in the league.
I'm going to say inbounds of this. It's been a long, long time since he's been out of the game, BT. 5 years, almost 5 years. He'll be 31 in late September. And so, I mean, I don't know what kind of impact he's going to have, but it seems like he's got his life in order. And if you do that part of it, then I think the NFL will be forgiving. And the Cowboys, who have always been a team that have is not averse to taking risk on players like this, I think are making a smart decision, especially if he can still play.
I'm going to say inbounds as well on this. He seems to be changed, and he seems to have taken the proper steps to make himself a better human. That's good. Good for Alden Smith. You have to admire that. So I'm okay with the NFL giving him another shot. I'm not so sure if I love the fit here. To me, you know, situationally, the best fit for Alden Smith is to go to a premier offensive team that's going to rack up a ton of points, get out to double-digit leads, and force the opponent to drop back and throw it 35 times. And if that happens, you know, he can put his hand to the ground or you can shift him around linebacker in the edge, and he could get maybe, you know, 8, 9, 10 sacks, maybe more if he's in the right situation. I don't love it for Dallas, but I'm okay with him getting another shot. Yes, inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, for the first time since 2006, Phillip Rivers will not be under center for the Chargers. Obviously drafted back in 04, but he sat the first couple of years. He was drafted with Eli and Big Ben. As of right now, their current quarterback depth chart includes Easton Stick. Sounds like a fictitious baseball player.
Okay.
Easton Stick. And Tyrod, and a good fictitious baseball player. Now batting Easton Stick. And Tyrod Taylor, we know about him. All right, back in February, head coach Anthony Lynn glowed about Taylor's skill set.
Tyrod Taylor, I mean, he's a heck of a quarterback. And I've had Tyrod before, and I know what this young man brings to the table in the passing game and the running game. One of the things he does very well is take care of the football. I think every year he's starting this league, he's been number one quarterback in taking care of the football. And I believe more games are lost than won. And so if we can just take care of the football and take it away, we'll be okay.
All right, so that wasn't too long ago. Then in March, it was reported the Chargers planned to head into the 2020 season with Taylor as their starter. However, in a conference call yesterday, Lynn was a little less assertive and certainly non-committal, saying Tyrod's in the driver's seat to start. This is a quote, but nothing is finalized, so the door's obviously open there. And when he was asked if they were looking at Jameis Winston or Cam Newton, Lynn said they were looking at everybody in or out. Tyrod Taylor will be the starter week one for the Bolts.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT. You start to look at the talent on the Los Angeles Chargers, and we talked about this many times, BT. Defensively, obviously, they'll be better this year. Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are really good players. Derwin James missed all of last year with an injury. So their defense is continuing to be one of the impact units in the NFL. But then offensively, Keenan Allen, if he stays healthy, and Mike Williams, and you have Hunter Henry at tight end. They just re-signed Austin Eckler to a really team-friendly, manageable deal. And without, I think, Melvin Gordon there, he's going to be able to be explosive. So this team needs a quarterback who can throw the ball downfield with accuracy. The problem with Tyrod Taylor, yes, he does not turn the football over, but he is not very accurate throwing the ball plus 15 yards. And so I don't see how they don't go find another alternative, whether it's Cam or Jameis or certainly someone, one of the kids in the draft. I don't see him. If there's a kid in the draft, he may be the starter week one. But I think if they get one of these other free agents, I don't think it's going to be Tyrod Taylor. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
They're not signing Jameis. I really don't see that. And I don't think they're going to sign Cam at this point. My answer is in bounds here. And, less than you said is what hits it. I do think they're going to draft a quarterback, probably Herbert, based on where they reside, unless they jump up the board and maybe they swap with the Lions at three or the Redskins at two. I mean, if something wacky happens, they could get two, I'm sure. But I really think it's going to be Herbert, and I don't think Herbert will be ready to start week one. So you keep the football in the hands of a smart, savvy, good leader, protects the rock, good athlete, can move the sticks with his feet as well, has been to the playoffs here, and he's kind of holding it down until Herbert or whomever is ready to go. But I do not believe it will be Jameis, nor do I believe it's going to be Cam. But I say in bounds to start in week one for Tyrod.
Are you in or are you out?
The Knicks looking for a new GM. What else is new? After cleaning house earlier in the season, what else is new there? Now, new team president Leon Rose reportedly has his sights set on a rival. And the Daily News reports that Rose wants 76ers GM Elton Brand for the same role. Now, Brand's a former number one overall pick out of Duke, and he played high school ball in New York upstate. And he was part of that Riverside. Was that Riverside or Gauchos? I believe that was Riverside. That great, great Riverside team. And he's been making the decisions in Philly since 2018, despite little experience. Now, he spent 1 year as a player development consultant back in 2016 before serving as the GM for the team's G League team, for one season. In or out, Elton Brand has done enough to prove he will be an effective general manager.
I really like Elton Brand. I'm going to say inbounds because he has so much respect of the players, the veteran players around the NBA. And if wherever he goes, there better be a really stout scouting department. I'm going to say inbounds, but tepidly. He doesn't have a ton of experience. I think he's getting by on, a process that was started 3 years before he was general manager, albeit while he was a player on the team, so he's familiar with it. But I think he's in a unique situation in Philadelphia that's allowing him to be successful, even though some people will challenge some of his signings, including the Tobias Harris monster contract that he gave him for a non-elite player. So I'm going to say inbound, but kind of tepidly.
All right, Elton Brand, to me, he's definitely a sharp dude. He was obviously a heck of a player. He was borderline. I mean, not a great player, but, boy, he was a legitimate all-star before he ruptured his Achilles. Man could play.
Yep.
He's polished. I think he's got great upside as an executive. He's respected, and he's ascending, but he is a horrendous fit for the Knicks right here. No chance. Don't want him. Not interested. Not even remotely interested, and I'll tell you why. Now, I just got this. I got this text from somebody about 15 minutes ago, and they said, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but said, believe me when I tell you, Elton Brand is obviously a likable, smiling face, to be the face of the franchise, but he's probably fourth or fifth on the decision-making totem pole for the Sixers these days.
That's right.
If that's the case, and I believe my source is true, obviously, if that's the case, then you could partially exonerate him for the Tobias Harris contract or the Al Horford big money, which was misspent, or letting multiple shooters leave the building, which has created real spacing issues and made Philly worse. Okay, if that's true, then that's not on his resume. But specific to the Knicks situation, if he's not really doing anything, then why the heck would you bring him in? The Knicks need somebody who knows how to structure and build a team. Not a guy who's fourth in charge. Not a guy who's not doing anything. No, I like Elton. I will be very, very unhappy if he's the general manager of the Knicks. Not happy at all.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, he was a big-scale high school kid. And who was on his AAU team? He played with Ron Artest, I know that. Played with Lamar Odom, I know that. He played with, I want to say, Eric Barkley was on that squad. I mean, they were unbelievable. Unbelievable. Wow. But as a GM, not feeling it. No, I mean, let's face it. So if he didn't make the call to give these guys contracts, you say, okay, well, good. He didn't make bad decisions, but then you'd have to say.
But he also didn't prevent.
He's made no decisions.
Exactly. He also didn't prevent those decisions, right? It's one thing to like Tobias Harris and it's like, oh, he was so good for us in this unique situation that we found ourselves in with Jimmy Butler and everybody else. But you can't break him off paying that much.
No.
And then now Horford, so you're big but no spacing. I agree with you, BT.
Not feeling it. All right, major college hoops programs. Two of them in the crosshairs. The scheme on HBO was great. We'll hit that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.